Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here, we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, we'll have the latest on yesterday's shooting at Fort Stewart in southeast Georgia. Also, two former corrections officers at an Augusta prison are charged in connection with a man's death, and Macon-Bibb County officials ask residents for help handling the housing shortage.
Redevelopment and reusing existing housing stock and how we do that most effectively and affordably for people is another question that we're looking to get answered in this study.
Today is Thursday, August 7th. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. Attorney General Chris Carr's gubernatorial campaign said today that it is suing Lieutenant Governor Burt Jones' rival campaign. GPB's Sarah Callis reports.
Carr's campaign is asking a federal court to stop Jones from using his leadership committee funds for his campaign. Leadership committees were established in 2021. Only a few top officials have access to the committees, which allow them to raise money with fewer restrictions than other elected officials. A spokesperson for Carr alleges that Jones is trying to circumvent campaign fundraising laws by using his leadership committee. Meanwhile, a spokeswoman for Jones' campaign says that Carr has defended the law in the past and has switched positions. This isn't the first time leadership committees have been challenged in court. In 2022, a federal judge ruled that Governor Brian Kemp could not use his leadership committee funds in his primary race against then-former Senator David Perdue. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis.
Six soldiers who stopped an armed assailant during yesterday's shooting at a southeast Georgia Army base are being hailed as heroes today. A gunman shot five soldiers at Fort Stewart. GPB's Orlando Montoya reports.
Speaking at Fort Stewart this morning, Army Secretary Dan Driscoll praised the soldiers who responded to the incident under stress and under fire.
One of the soldiers tackled the person. So just think about this. They were unarmed and ran at and tackled an armed person who they knew was actively shooting their buddies, their colleagues, their fellow soldiers.
Another soldier jumped on top of the assailant, ensuring his arrest, and the others started taking care of those injured. The wounded soldiers were expected to recover. Meanwhile, attention is turning to how the suspect, an Army Sergeant Cornelius Radford, was able to bring a personal weapon into his workspace at Fort Stewart. The Army is still investigating that question and others. Scott Sweetow is a security consultant and former senior official with the U.S. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. He says carrying a weapon into a military base is a strictly regulated privilege, not a right.
As a civilian, you can get in big trouble because you can't carry a firearm like that into a federal installation. But working there, he has the mechanism to do it, but he has to actually follow the military laws and regulations, and certainly it appears he wasn't doing that.
He says it would be impossible to prevent a gun from being snuck onto the base because so many cars go in and out of it. And the real question is, quote, what caused him to spiral? Radford was facing a charge of driving under the influence for an alleged traffic violation in May. For GPB News, I'm Orlando Montoya.
Two former correctional officers at Augusta State Medical Prison have been indicted in connection with the death of an incarcerated man in 2020. Robert Robertson and Marcus Phillips are charged with violating the man's constitutional rights by showing deliberate indifference to a fire in his cell that caused his death. The indictment this week alleges that the two officers noticed a smoldering fire in the man's cell, but rather than putting out the fire, evacuating the man, or calling emergency services, the officers are accused of leaving the man in the locked cell for hours while he slowly died from smoke inhalation. Residents of Macon-Bibb County are being asked to participate in a survey to help local leaders decide how to tackle the challenge of housing scarcity. GPB's Grant Blankenship has more.
Macon-Bibb County Planning and Zoning is floating the survey. It asks residents where they live, where they'd like to live, whether they own or rent, and even what things they see as the biggest obstacles to finding housing in Macon. Jeff Ruggieri heads Bibb County Planning and Zoning. He says the survey is an important first step for formulating a comprehensive plan for a community that's now adding people after decades of population loss.
We are running out of greenfield-type developments. So redevelopment and reusing existing housing stock and how we do that most effectively and affordably for people is another question that we're looking to get answered in this study.
Macon residents have until the 18th of August to complete the housing survey. For GPB News, I'm Grant Blankenship in Macon.
Research on childhood adversity shows that kids with unstable environments are more likely to develop mental health disorders and even cardiovascular disease. GPB's Ellen Eldridge has more.
The study from the University of Georgia looked at how environmental unpredictability impacts health. This includes things like kids without family routines, consistent bedtimes, and economically stable caregivers. Kelsey Koss is an associate professor of human development and family science at the University of Georgia.
And we were interested in unpredictability in part because it may leave children with a kind of loss of a sense of control, their ability to make predictions about what will happen next, which is really important for self-regulation skills.
UGA's study used data from the Child Well-Being Study that recruited thousands of families with newborns between 1998 and 2000. For GPB News, I'm Ellen Eldridge.
About 400 people who work at Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport are going to lose their jobs with a company that provides commissary services for Delta Airlines. A Delta contractor, Unify Aviation, told state officials on Tuesday that Delta has given it notice the airline no longer needs its services. The workers are expected to be laid off by the end of September. A Columbus Health Services provider has agreed to pay $70,000 to settle a disability discrimination lawsuit. The U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission said on Tuesday that its case against the Zoe Center for Pediatric and Adolescent Health involved remote work. The agency said an employee requested to work remotely several days a week because of a disability and was fired the next day.
It's rare to find a podcast that can actually change your life. But when the show's called Life Kit, that's kind of the whole point. I'm Mariel Segarra. 3 times a week on the Life Kit podcast, we guide you through a topic we could all use help with, from personal development to healthy living to managing your dinero, with takeaways so you can start living what you learn right away. Escucha el Life Kit podcast from NPR.
In former President Jimmy Carter's hometown of Plains, Georgia, a new national tradition will begin this month honoring the legacies of America's first ladies. On what would have been Rosalynn Carter's 97th birthday, the National First Ladies Day Commission will lay a wreath at Carter Gardens, part of the Jimmy Carter National Historical Park. The August 18th ceremony is the first of its kind, recognizing former first ladies with the same reverence often given to their presidential spouses. Descendants from other presidential families are expected to attend. And that's a wrap on Georgia Today. We hope you'll come back tomorrow and check gpb.org/news for updates. Subscribe to this podcast, too, so we pop up in your feed automatically every weekday afternoon. And if you've got feedback or a story idea, our email box is waiting for your message. Send it to georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.